Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday wanting to get back into our second video in the new series called God's Determination. Well, number one, we always want to come to you with these videos to encourage you to begin to let God come out of the pages of your Bible and get into your life. In other words, tangibility. I know that sounds like an interesting word. People think that, you know, you're not supposed to hear God or feel God. Well, that's just completely wrong. Our spirits came alive when Jesus came to live in us. And at that moment, our spiritual senses came alive. You know, there's all kinds of people that aren't born again that have developed their spiritual senses that aren't alive to God, but they've experienced a spiritual world. Some of them have experienced devils. Some of them have just experienced a spiritual world on their own. Others have been wooed by the Spirit of God to come to Christ. Well, how would you know to do that unless there's something spiritually connecting with your spirit so that you can actually decide to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior? Where people open their hearts and their minds, the grace of God will work with you to get you saved or to walk you through as a mature Christian in life, experiencing God day by day. Number two, we want you to begin to get those testimonies. Why? Because you need answered prayers. And number three, it's so nice to be able to share a story with somebody along with the scriptures that you know so well. So as we look into God's determination, the first thing we're going to do is show you that Jesus was determined that we might actually experience God like he. And that's why in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 to 30, we always share this to start out at the beginning of our videos. And Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Well, that's a tremendous invitation from the Lord so that we can begin to experience God just like Jesus did. And Jesus always seemed to show us that there was never really that much to it. Like he would meet somebody with a withered hand that didn't work and he would just say, stretch out your hand. Well, you know, the individual can say, well, I would do that if I could. But Jesus never faltered. He never wavered. And the confidence in his voice, because he was connected to the spiritual world, where he wasn't living out of his flesh, but he was living out of his heart or his spirit, is the reason why it would work so simply and so well. Well, God has determined that it works that way with you. So even as some scriptures that we've used, the Lord is not slack, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Or as we shared with you the other translation, the Lord is not slow concerning his promises, but he bears patiently with you. In other words, God is very, very quick. He hastens to perform his word, Jeremiah 1, 12. The Lord's eyes roam to and fro, 2 Chronicles 16:9, to do what? To put on a show, to show himself strong on your behalf. Well, we can see this in many, many other different places, that God wants a demonstration of his power to be witnessed so that men will come in the saving knowledge of Christ and receive him. Well, I want to go, if you will, over to Hebrews chapter 6, 13 to 20. And this is a story about Abraham and the calling of Abraham and what God had to do with Abraham to get Abraham or help him to believe. Now, faith, as A.W. Tozer says, and of course, this is kind of rock solid faith here we're going to share with you. We've watered it down so much, this almost makes it become like almost too difficult, but it's not. It's normal. It's the way that it should be. And this is what he said. He said, real faith is where you put yourself on purpose in a position where you can't go back. Excuse me. Pseudo faith is where you have a way out just in case God fails you. Now look at the difference. Pseudo faith is where you give yourself options. In other words, where you give yourself wiggle room just in case you need it. You know, in all these years, I've watched, even with myself, whenever there was wiggle room, it was very easy to compromise and go with it. when there's no wriggle room, when there's no options, all you've got is Jesus to make you live or die. Well, how would you then grab a hold of, receive, partake of the Lord? Man, you'd grab it with all your heart. Your focus would be sure. Amen. And your reception would be good. So when I see that, I come over to Hebrews chapter 6, 13 to 20, and read in the New King James Version, although we'll read in some other versions as well. It says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself." Well, this is just very, very simple. When God made a promise to Abraham, if there was someone greater than God, he would have made the promise with that individual. But because there was no one greater, instead of making the promise with Abraham. Now this is interesting. It's very important. God made the promise with himself on behalf of Abraham. In other words, God secured the promise with himself. God the Father and God the Son secured the promise on behalf of Abraham. What did Abraham have to do? And the answer is really nothing except believe or embrace the reality that what they did on his behalf was good enough for him to walk in the benefit. Well, this gets right back to what? Sounds like grace, doesn't it? It sounds like God doing something for us. Unmerited favor. You didn't deserve it. You didn't do anything to secure it. God did it all for you, but you believed it as though God meant for you to have it. And that's the whole reason why Jesus died on the grave. It wasn't to get forgiveness for his sins. It was to pay the penalty of our sins. And he didn't come out of the grave. He wasn't until he was justified, which means until every single person, past, present, and future, their sins were completely remitted and the sin problem had been solved. Jesus then came out of the grave, destroyed sin, destroyed death, hell, and the grave, took the keys from Satan, defeated all of hell, and rose again as our champion, that as many as would receive him, to them he gives power to become sons of God. Now notice it didn't say to them that do extra special work. No, it's just to them that receive what he did. Well, as we look into this, I love this because God swore by himself, making this unbreakable. If God swore by Abraham, the first time Abraham would have messed up, which probably would have been in the first 24 hours, the whole covenant is off. But not so if God swears by himself, saying, "Surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you." And so afterwards, he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now, this is another real interesting point of contention. So he patiently endured. See, religion has taken that and put that into every single prayer. But folks, that's not supposed to be in every single prayer. You know, a prayer of consecration and dedication is where you don't know the will of God, but you're dedicating your heart to do all the will of God according to his will. You know, Jesus came according to the will of the Father. He said, "I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me." Well, what does that show you? Well, that's how we live life too. And if you want to be successful, you'll get out of your own way and just submit to God's ways. You know, when God said over in Isaiah 55, "My ways are above your ways and my thoughts are above your thoughts, as far as the heaven is above the earth." Well, he wasn't saying that to brag on himself. God doesn't have to impress anybody. God is love. Amen. And love is all about a demonstration. God said that on purpose for what? To settle your heart from all of your heartache, from expending your thoughts to the point of a mental breakdown, from trying to come up with the right words to say. He said, "My thoughts are above your thoughts and my ways beyond your ways." God's trying to settle your heart so you stop trying so hard and just do it like God says it's done. Well, we've had a problem with that. What's been the problem? We haven't trusted God. So folks, I just want you to know, you know, we're not supposed to have to be able to see something in order to believe something. So when I started out, I'll give you some testimony. When I started out in healing school years ago, 1994 to 2004, I think I preached somewhere around 500 times a year for 10 years in a row. That'd be about 5,000 times in 10 years. Well, you meet yourself coming and going and you learn a few things. Well, when we started out, I didn't know a lot. Folks, I didn't have a background of Pentecost. We had a wonderful background of a Baptist background of getting people saved. Now, I'm not taking anything away from that. We'd hit the streets. We'd let people know that Jesus loves them. I mean, I can remember some of the things I did. Lord have mercy. I tackled some people. I got them on the ground and I held them right there until they heard the gospel message. That's not the way you're supposed to do it by any means. But, you know, in my youth, I did some crazy things. And as I got older, we just learned, you know, to be real crafty with the way that we said things and real gentle, you know, and we'd come, you know, just to do some surveys in people's homes just to see if there's any way that they knew about the things of God. And then we'd ask them in the midst of that survey, would you like to actually hear something about this Jesus? Would you give me 5 minutes to tell you? And this is back in the day where people actually respected God enough to give you that 5 minutes. They weren't too busy. Today, they're too busy to hear anything. There's a great need for a demonstration of God in the earth. But back in those days in healing school, I didn't come from a Pentecostal background. I came from a Baptist background. So everything I'm learning in those 7 years that we were with Brother Hagin, not every service did he flow in the miraculous. Many times, you know, he would get up and just as a teacher, teach us wonderful things and share some wonderful prophetic utterances as the Spirit of God would move on him. But it's not like I saw constantly him working with people and getting them into a place to receive a healing. Many times the healings were like 2,000 or 3,000 people that would come forward and we'd have to catch every single one of them. And Brother Hagin would just say, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed. You wouldn't hear any testimonies. Every once in a while you might hear one. So if you heard 4 or 5 out of 2,000 or 3,000 people, what I'm saying that for is because without seeing the demonstration of what you've been taught to believe, we're very slow at getting there. And today there's a lack of demonstration for all the teaching that's been given. So people are very slow at putting 2 and 2 together and getting 4. Well, when I got into healing school, I just did what everybody else was doing. And for the first 3 months, we hardly saw anything happen. In fact, many, many people died. People went home all the time without any change in their bodies. I think there were about 4 people that were healed, and I had no idea how they got healed, so you can't duplicate something you don't understand. I know that sounds pathetic, and it was. And the reason why I got on my face and asked the Lord to change me, not the people. You can't just say to the people, if you had faith, you'd get a healing. Yes, that's true, but if you don't demonstrate it to them. In other words, if the sheep are in a really bad pasture, because the shepherd never took them to the good pasture. You can't say to the sheep, if you had faith, you'd be in a good pasture. It's the shepherd that leads them. And thank God, Jesus is the shepherd. And he said about us that we hear him, we see him, we know him, and we follow him. And he always leads us into a demonstration of that which is good and that which is right. And that's why Jesus' ministry took off, because he healed the people and he set them free. And fame spread abroad about him, and people came just to hear and be healed. And as many as touched were made perfectly well. Well, that's where we're headed, folks. That's the direction the church is headed today. And so in those days in healing school, we had to make a change and God had to help me. And the things that I'm sharing with you right now are some of the first things the Lord shared with us concerning making the change over into a place where God could work with us to see results. We'd not been seeing them. Others had not been seeing results. But the Lord began to make a change in me when I put my heart out there. Why? Because when I said, Lord, change me, what is that? But humility. It's saying, I don't have the answers. I need you for the answers. And that's a prayer of humility. And God gives what? He gives grace to the humble. We saw that through the whole series of casting your care upon the Lord. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the hand of the mighty hand of God, that in due time he would lift you up. And that's what I did. I didn't do it calculated. I did it because we needed something to happen out of desperation. And because of that, God began to give me information like I'm sharing with you about covenant, about God's determination to touch the people. And when we began to change our message, it changed the whole tune of the way that we spoke. No, it wasn't like taking your car to somebody that just doesn't know what kind of car that is, and they're going to do their best to try maybe to put it up on the rack, and I can't assure you anything, but I'll do my best to see what I can do. Is this one of those foreign cars, or is this an American car? I mean, at that particular point, you're taking back your keys, and you're saying, well, listen, pal, I'm going to go down the street and just check some things out. If I need to come back, I'll let you know. And lo and behold, you pull into a place that just seems to ring with confidence. Everything about it looks sharp. It looks like they know what they're doing. They're dressed differently. The demeanor is different. They come out and they just literally begin to cite what it is, what the car is. They even tell you what kind of engine you have, and you didn't even know you had that engine. And you say, well, it looks like I'm, they say, I already know, I can tell. Just by listening to the way it's running, you need a new muffler. Can you fix that? Listen, we do these all the time. We've got multiples up on the racks right now that are the same kind of cars you have. We'll have you out in about 35, 45 minutes. We'll give you a call. It'll be as good as new. We've got a warranty on it. And you're already handing them the keys because of the demeanor of which they spoke. They spoke as someone who actually knew the answer before the problem was even worked on. Folks, this is what Jesus does for us. This is what happens when you see the determination of God. You'll start speaking and acting like you've already got an answer before you've even entered into your fight. And it's the enemy that'll start running, and he'll be nervous because he can see the confidence that you exude because you know God. Come on, think of Daniel 11:32. They that know their God, that means those that experience God, will be strong and do exploits. I'm not talking about book knowledge here. We're talking about you walking with him on a regular basis. Well, we've already used up our time. I'm going to have to go to one of our testimonies here, you know, just to share with you what God's doing with people. And this is really wonderful. It's Georgia gives a grace story. And she says, hi, Jim, I am so loving these teachings of casting your care. That's what we had done before. Many things have been pointed out to me by the guys. That means God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that I was even unaware of, that I have no need to be concerned about. Around my deck, I have a beach grass planted that gets real high, and in the fall, I cut it all down. There tend to be pieces of the grass I missed that are lying on the grass that until the snow melted, you weren't even aware of. I was sitting at the table eating breakfast and happened to look out the window, and there were two robins. They picked up the strands of beach grass I had discarded and flew away. They took my discard to use for their home. Such a simple little thing, but it goes along to say what you've been sharing from Matthew chapter 6. So we don't need to have a care in the world, do we? Thank you very much. Notice in Matthew chapter 6, we talked about Jesus made comments that you're so worried and you're so fussing and concerned and distracted by the things of this world. Have you even looked at the birds lately, how our Father feeds them, that they are literally, Message Bible says, careless in the care of God? What was he trying to say? He was trying to say that you can actually find a connection to God by some of the things that you'll see if you'll just open your eyes and look. God takes care of the things that he makes. And the residue of God is in the things that he makes, and that's in you too. And as long as our focus will shift from the world to God, you'll begin to see the tangibility from that other world come into your world and make changes. I'm telling you, we can get to the point where to the world we're almost scary because we're so bold, nothing rocks our faith. We're ready to step out and believe God at the moment notice. Well, you know, the next time we come back, we'll be looking over there in Hebrews chapter 6. But right now, if you haven't subscribed to Adventures in Grace YouTube channel, go ahead and do so. And by all means, share it with other people so that they can see what we're talking about. You can also go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us. But for sure, go to our website, which is jimhockaday.com, and get a hold of our email, which is jhm@jimhockaday.com, and write us your grace stories. Until next time, God bless you all.